It's a motorcycle drive-by. Baby giant condos. I think it's about time we headed home. Welcome back to episode 3 of the Bounce Back Bogey podcast with Mike Bray and the Tit. Some big topics we're going to cover this week, including the potential return of a legend in the game, as well as a deep dive into the worst types of people on the golf course. But first, let's throw it to Mike. How was your week, man? You're looking pretty fine lately. I saw those gym posts. You got the bowling ball shoulders, the thick muzzy.
Yeah, we're getting a little greasy these days. But yeah, things are good. Didn't do much. Watched Farmers was great ending on Saturday. And then watched the football games this weekend, watched the Lions kind of collapse, which is never good for my household because things get a little out of hand with my younger brother. But you know what? Other than that, it was a good week.
Is he on Suey watch right now or what?
Yeah, we haven't seen him since the game ended. So
just like an empty bottle of Jack Daniels in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, home. It's possibly a Home Depot kind of night.
Ray, how about you, man?
Well, first off, Mike's brother is one of the best follows on Twitter. And I must say, after the game, I looked at his tweets and he's very supportive of Dan Campbell, which I love because I cannot stand when coaches decide to go the aggressive route and go for it on fourth down in the correct spots. And it doesn't work. And then then they end up losing the game, which is what happened today with the Lions. But it's all hindsight because they were doing that all year. They wouldn't have won in the wild card round if they didn't do that and got it against the Rams. And it's just like so ridiculous. Also, the Lions field goal kicker is not perfect from outside 40 yards. And everyone just assumes if you kick the field goal, it's automatic. You're going to make it. It's not the case. Yeah. So I just cannot stand that. That is like the fourth down discourse when a fourth down decision, the aggressive fourth down decision goes wrong is it like really grinds my gears. I hate it.
So. The Lions lost because Reynolds dropped a pass on fourth down.
Yeah.
They had an interception off a guy's helmet for a 50-yard reception.
Yeah.
And then following that, Gibbs fumbled. Those were the three plays that lost in the game. Exactly. It wasn't anything to do with the fourth down decisions.
No, it was. Yeah, I know. And he was consistent all year. Like, we are going to be aggressive and win the game. And the best way that I think of it now is if I were a fan of the other team, would I want them to go for it or kick here? Because if I was the 49ers when they were down by 3, and going for it on fourth and 3 from like the 30 or whatever, if I was the 49ers, I would have wanted them to try the field goal. And at worst,
get the ball back tied.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I do not want them to try to score there. So that's how I think people need to start thinking of it is like, if your favorite team was on defense, what would you want them to do? Mm-hmm. And the right decision is probably the opposite of that. So
yeah.
I'm glad that more coaches are being a little more aggressive, and it's just like ridiculous that some people can't like that.
Everyone's just like the people that are outcome based are the worst people in the world.
Yeah. All right. What about the people that are momentum based? So here's the way I look at it. Points on the board matter, right? Yeah. So if they kick the field goal, the boys are jazzed up. They got points on the board and they're ready to roll and maybe they get a little confidence. And I don't know. I think there's intangibles. That being said, I think they made all the right plays.
There's also momentum on getting the fourth down conversion, on getting it like that. They've been doing that all year. You kind of have that like swag. You're like, we're just not punting today. We're going to go get it. Yeah. Also, how big of a momentum loss is it if you decide to kick and miss the field goal? And then you're second guessing is like, Dan Campbell went for these all year. Now he's kicking the field goal and they missed and momentum's the other way. So
right. Then the headlines are like, he got in his own head.
He got scared in the big moment. Yeah. He didn't stick to his guns.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I hate that.
I'm not even a huge football fan. He's one of my favorite, all the highlight reels, like the TikToks I've seen of that clip where he's like, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fucking run through my apartment wall into the kid's bedroom right next to me when that plays. I'm fired up.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, watch that. Watch the other football game. I thought it was going to be a shootout because both teams scored in the first drives, and then it kind of fizzled out. It was a defensive struggle. But how about Mahomes? Every year goes to the AFC Championship game, does it on the road this time. I'm not one that just like is like a square bettor that just bets on the favorites. I bet on underdogs all the time, but I'm like, okay, today, like the favorites are the favorites. Like the Ravens are so good. The 49ers are so good. And yeah, so I thought the Ravens would like play a better game. Lamar just kind of laid an egg and yeah.
Yeah.
Mahomes just is, he's him, as they say now. Like
Yeah.
he just wins all those big games, even when he's an underdog. I sound so dust, but yeah,
They're the
he's
new
just that
Patriots,
guy.
though. They're the
They
new
are, yeah.
Patriots. Like everyone, I like dynasties. Like a lot of people hated when the Patriots were winning all the time, and now they're starting to hate the Chiefs because they're the new Patriots. I kind of like it. Like it's kind of fun when there's one team that does it every year. There's some consistency, and then it's kind of cool when someone else does it, like maybe Buffalo or some other AFC team does it next year. Who knows? But I like the I appreciate the consistent greatness that is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I think this is a common take, but I think Patrick Mahomes would probably be the most likable athlete nowadays if he didn't have those dweebs and that cunt wife surrounding him. Like his
His
brother, I mean, he
brother.
beats women, he doesn't tip. His wife is, yeah, she's just a cat. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, his brother's a tough scene. His wife's kind of annoying, but I don't think it's if his brother wasn't who he is, I don't think it's a story. And I kind of feel bad for Taylor because a lot of people hate when they show her all the time. Like it's not their fault. It's not her fault that they're showing her. Like she's Taylor Swift. She's at the games. I don't hate it as much as everyone else does, but yeah.
She apparently
Anyway.
told the camera to go away today, but
She did. I saw that. Yeah. That was a good clip, but good for the Chiefs. Yesterday, took my kid swimming. He's 3 months old now, and apparently it's good to introduce them to swimming before 4 months old because they have this dive reflex, they call it. So they'll naturally like not suck in water and close their eyes. But the first time, so I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on like how to do it. I'm not one of those guys. Craig would totally be the guy that just like chucks his kid in the middle of the pool is like, good luck,
Oh,
son.
dude, I'd waterboard my baby. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but apparently that's not a bad thing to do either. Like they will naturally, hopefully, obviously with supervision.
You can
But
waterboard a child?
no, like chuck them
Oh.
in the water, you
Oh,
dumbass.
okay.
But the first time we tried going underwater, this was a few weeks ago, I was holding him like facing me, arms under his armpits, and went like one, two, three, under, and brought him under. And then like freaked out. I was like, oh, I don't know how long he can hold his breath. So immediately like lifted him way back up. And Sabrine was recording it. And you could just see his mouth like scoop a whole bunch of water. He's like spitting it out and immediately just starts crying. I'm like, oh God damn it. We just scarred our kid for life from the water. So this time did it a little bit differently, like didn't go under with him. I just kind of like lowered him into the water slowly, and it was a lot better. He wasn't crying this time, so was a good experience, and he slept so well after that. So highly recommend if you want your kids to sleep, your future kids to sleep, take them to the pool because it'll tire their asses out.
All right, yeah. My week's pretty much the same. Watch football today. I got a chance to watch a little bit of the golf and then just worked a lot. I'm trying to get a lot of not take a lot of vacation before we all go to Winnipeg, beautiful Winnipeg in February.
Woo.
But yeah, just grinding away at the golf course I work at. I do think it's about time we make a national holiday for all the golf club pros out there. I think there's a lot of heroes in the world. I think club pros are right up there with firemen, members of service, army, Marines, SEALs, arguably. We do so much behind the scenes. I'd just like to give myself a pat on the back. I think we make it June 9th, but I'll take a thank you from you both now so you guys can go
Thank
ahead
you
and
for your
thank me for my
thank you for your
service.
service.
Thank
Thank
you
you
for
for
your
your service.
service. Craig,
Yeah.
I know you do a lot for all the very rich members, and yeah, your work goes noticed by us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It does mean a lot. And then us being a golf pod and just generally offering occasional golf advice in some way or another. Just some advice for anybody who's a member at like a private or semi-private. Mike, this isn't directed at you, by the way. I know you're at VGC and I know the type of person you are, and I'm sure you're a beauty, all of those guys there. A lot of the guys who work there or the guys that handle your clubs, maybe don't be a complete prick to them. If you're keeping your clubs in club storage, just be the guy who's a beauty, talks to them for take a second out of your day to say hi, ask them how they're doing, ask them about like the college they're going to, whatever. Don't bitch about your 3 wood having a little bit of dirt and that little speed gap. Because guess what? When you need your grips done and this college kid takes it down, he's going to put it in the wrong vise in the fucking lie bending machine. And you're going to be wondering why you're hitting 50 yard hooks with your 4 degree upright wedge the next day. So just, word of advice. Anyway, I went a little off there. Let's move on. Bray, maybe we'll start off with you on this. I'm guessing you probably watch the most golf. Let's do a little farmer's recap.
You thought
What do you
I
have on the
watched the
week?
most golf?
I thought so. It seemed
I
like it.
watched golf. I watched golf Saturday after we got our kid back from the pool. But yeah, like Tori typically brings out the big boys. Like it is, it's a big boy golf course, long golf course, thick rough. It's that typical, like if you want to battle, if you don't want to roll the ball back, we could just make all the golf courses so long and thick rough. But that's just going to lead to guys that hammer the golf ball winning more often there. The leaderboard, though, was kind of disappointing at the top. And that might be due to the next week being a designated, elevated, whatever event, whatever it's called these days at Pebble. But like the guys in the field, like Xander was in the field. Who else was in the field? Like some pretty big names. They just kind of fizzled out. Nikolai Højgaard, Åberg was there. Those aren't like huge staples yet, but they're like strong newbies on tour. But like who won? Mathieu
Mathieu Pavon.
Pavon, French guy.
Yeah. First French guy to win on tour.
Yeah, that's cool. I definitely thought Victor Dubuisson won a few years ago, but he got second in the match play.
Yeah.
So
Forgot about him.
yeah, I don't know anything about this guy. Good swing, obviously. You don't just like fluke your way around a win at Torrey, but I was really hoping for the ultimate five-man playoff at the end. He missed like a four-footer on 17 left. Tough greens at Torrey with like the POA growing in sometimes, but missed it left, then tugged his tee shot into the bunker on the par five 18th, tugged his next one. So left, like three in a row. Tugged his layup like way left into the rough. And now he's got that water to go over to a tough pin. I thought he was just gonna hit it back of the green and try to two putt, stuffs it to like 8 feet, rolls it in, absolute nails. But if he had made par, it would have been if he had made par and Højgaard would have made par. I don't know. Højgaard finished second, but there was a potential for a five-man playoff, which I always hope for playoffs unless I have like a betting interest in it. So, yeah.
Yeah, both Højgaard and Jaeger, but Jaeger was, I think he needed eagle to have any sort of chance. I think if he eagled, he got to 12. And it looked like, I mean, that 18th, if you don't get it in the fairway, even if you get it in the fairway, it's no matter what, it's for as far as par fives go, it's a tough hole. And I think he hit it. Did he hit it in the left bunker?
Left bunker, then left rough.
Yeah, and the lie was nasty in the rough. Like to hit that shot
Supposedly.
was it was same thing. Like I was in the pro shop watching, and me and one of the other guys were talking, and we're just like, "Where do you hit it here? You have no idea how it's gonna come out." So I'm thinking he's got to be aiming just short of the back fringe and just let like dispersion do its thing, I guess, because that's so unpredictable, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. He'd try to hit it, like land it middle to back of the green, and then obviously hit it very well, and it came up a little shorter. Maybe he was trying to do that, and then it just came out a little bit dead or whatever. But amazing result.
Mike, what do you got on the week?
I saw a stat on Twitter, and I think I can't fully remember what it was, but it was kind of stood out to me. I think at one point the top nine on the leaderboard were all players from Europe, and they were all from different countries, which tells you there's a lot of talent in Europe right now. But also, this Matthew Pavon guy, he's been good for a while. He won the Spanish Open last year. He had a couple other good finishes. He came seventh at the Sony earlier this couple weeks ago. He's a very, very talented guy. But I wanted to talk about Nikolai Højgaard. That's
Sure.
pronouncing it
I think
right.
so.
Good enough.
So,
Just call him Ho. Let's just call him Ho.
what I saw, which was a crazy thing, is that he's 3 years younger than Hébert.
Yeah.
And he has a very good resume himself, and those two are going to be like European superstars for a very long time.
Yeah.
I
Is
think
he the
he's
better one of his? He has a twin brother,
Yeah,
Rasmus.
he's the better of the two, I'm pretty sure.
Nikolai is?
Rasmus is really good too, though, I think. Like, I think he had a good week on the Euro Tour.
But yeah, and you're when I was just going through the stats and whatnot, it was cool to see, because Aubert is like this phenom, right? And then I was looking at the ages, and Højgaard is 3 years younger than him. So
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
cool.
So Nikolai didn't go to college then, because Åberg played at Texas
Yeah, I
Tech,
don't think
right?
I think Hogarth just went straight to the DP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
That's got to be
stuff.
so sick to be that good that you just go straight to a major tour.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even go the college route. That's unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, some notes I got on the week. Shane Lowry's Albatross
Sick.
from 256. I think he hit like a three wood or some sort of wood. I don't think
No,
it
it
was a
was an
high wood.
iron.
Was it what?
I
I
swear.
watched it and I swear it was
Well,
a
it was a
three
wood.
wood.
It was a wood.
Okay,
Oh,
thank
okay.
God.
My
Fuck, I
bad.
was like, he
It was a wood.
mashed. Yeah, just nutted it. I got hole in ones, plural, baller, but I don't have an albatross. Bray, do you? I
I
Mike,
do
I think you
not.
do.
No. I have
I've got
two.
two. Oh,
Sold
geez.
not
Good
to.
for you.
I have two hole in ones, but I played with our front friend, Johnny Milk McClotic. What's the second par five at VGC on the back nine?
13.
13. I was playing with him when he got an albatross there. So I've seen one, have not gotten one myself, but
Could you guys see it go in that day?
it was getting dark. So he hit it and it was just kind of like following the slope in the green, and we couldn't see it go in, but we knew it had a chance.
Yeah.
And then we
Mike,
got
where were
up there and the
yours?
ball wasn't there.
Sorry?
Where were yours?
One of them was at 8 on the canal at Northview. I was playing with Rocco and Pino, and then my other one was on 13 as well at VGC.
Yes. And how
That's
many hole in
awesome.
ones?
I don't know. I
Too
got a few.
many?
I got a
How
few.
many? How many in competition?
Think five in competition.
Jesus
Jesus
Christ! Good for
Christ.
you.
I
Wow.
have two in competition, but they were both at the same course, which is sick. So I got both the hole in one flags for the same
Nice.
golf course.
Nice.
So I'm picking those off. Some other notes I had for the week, really quick. Zalatoris, solid week, T13. I want to see him back. Golf's definitely better with him. I think he's just a bit of a character, not so much with what he says, but just his, I mean, his putting keeps everyone on the edge of their seat. He hits it so good far, and he's looks like the Happy Gilmore guy, as everyone said, the caddy. So he's
Yeah.
just, yeah, he's just kind of one of those guys that's fun to
How
watch.
was his putting? Because I know he's broomstick now. Is it improved?
I would say we're about the least informed golf podcast because I don't know.
It's also
But
hard because CBS does, especially in the final round, does a very poor job of showing anyone that's either not Tiger Woods or not in the top five. I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. Jake Knapp, T3. I think they showed one golf shot of his. And
yeah.
I noticed it because he was sponsored by the Anaheim Ducks. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I like when guys are sponsored by sports. So that was cool. But it's
He
not
was
all on our
my
fault.
rookie of the year. He's my rookie of the year pick.
I
Oh,
had that
there
in
you
my
go.
notes too.
Nice.
Good pick. Last couple things. I already said Pavon shot on 18. Probably going to be like an underrated show. I think that was nasty.
That was
Maybe the
nasty,
lie
yeah.
wasn't as bad as it looks, but when you can't see the ball at all on camera, you got to assume it's pretty bad. And it's Tory Ruff. And for a French guy, he doesn't seem like a total cunt. He's actually pretty, seems like a beauty. Like he was pumped about the win, loved the celebration. And I would pray he has the French laugh. Oh.
Oh.
What
right.
about Steven Yeager? Would you call that a choke? He shot 72 in the final round, even par.
I think I think you could say the weekend was a little bit of a choke because I think he was what 74, 72 on the weekend.
Let's see.
I'm pretty sure.
Round
What
four
I
was
would say.
72. Round three was 73. So one over on the Saturday. Yeah, even on the Sunday. Yep.
Yeah, it's a Tory's tough. That's a maybe a little bit of a choke, but
Yeah.
he also was in contention late and hit one out of bounds on the 16th hole on in
Yes.
round four. So
Yeah.
say what you
Yeah.
want, but maybe a little bit of a choke.
Yeah. I just looked up Willie Z's stats here, and he gained shots putting this week. So,
Good for
but
him.
he sometimes did that. Like, we know that putting week to week is so variable. So who knows? Like, it'll even out over the course of a season, but he can also gain strokes putting and still be so yippy over the four footers, and that's what's fun to watch about him.
It's definitely a narrative to call him an awful putter, and it looks awful. And I think he talked about this on No Laying Up or some golf podcast. But he's like, look at me statistically. I'm not actually a bad putter. And it's ugly. It's kind of like he's the one of the first guys I can think of to have, you know, when you see like a really ugly swing. I can't think of anyone right now off the top of my head,
Like
but
Furyk,
they.
though, like
Yeah,
it's
perfect. Yeah,
kind of
Furyk, that should have been it.
ugly to the untrained eye, but like it's actually very sound, like at impact. But yes.
Yeah, and he was a very solid ball striker. So why can't that be the case for putting? I think you can make that argument, right? Why can't you have an unconventional putting stroke that really works?
Yeah, I think he's like I know which interview you're talking about, the No Laying Up one, where he kind of just denies it. And I feel like he got just really defensive there, because I don't think he's a good putter. Like, we know putting week to week can be very variable, but you have to have a putting stroke that you can trust from 5 feet and in. Like, you're not going to win majors if you're not confident in those ones.
Yeah,
Although
agreed.
Scott, yeah, like Scotty has done it, so who knows?
Yeah, I should be careful with my argument because it's unconventional, but he clearly has demons at times. Like
Yes.
sometimes it looks much worse than others. So I don't think he's necessarily trying to make that move. And
Yeah,
if he is,
like
it's not repeatable.
it's not consistent. It's not consistent and repetitive. That's the main thing. If it was like a consistent like loop outside in, whatever, I don't care. But sometimes it's a little quick. Sometimes he like jerks it way inside. It's like, what the hell are you doing? So he's got some mental stuff going on, but hopefully the broomstick helps him out, because I do like watching him meet. Hammers the golf ball for like, how much does he weigh? Like $140?
40 or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you guys think of anyone off the top of your head that their putting put you on the edge that much? Like I can think of one bad putt, and I can think of, was it Lucas Glover? Who was it that had the putt for 59 and he missed the ball?
Lucas Glover before he went to the broomstick as well, had some apps like some demons. And Ernie Els had some demons for like a couple months.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, like a six putt on the first hole at the Masters is one of the saddest, funniest things that you could ever watch.
So bad, but so
Mike,
good.
I don't mean this as a total shot to you because your game's obviously way better than mine, and like but the one thing you have occasionally struggled with in the past is putting. It's also been really good at times. But have you ever had the demons to the point where you're missing the center of the putter that bad?
Not since I went to the long putter, but when I had the shorter putter, it was really, really bad.
I don't know. I mean, I have those demons with driver, which is arguably worse, but
That's worse. Yeah.
yeah. All right. Do you guys have anything else on the week? Can we?
I just what do you think about when do you like when tournaments are on different courses, like the North and South on the Thursday, or I guess it was Wednesday, Thursday this week because it finished on Saturday. Do you like that? Does it matter at all? Or because we got another one, we got the three course rotation at Pebble this week. What do you think about that?
I don't really care either way.
Yeah.
Like, I like that they finish the tournament on like the more established course.
Yeah.
And they do that at Pebble too. So I think it enhances the viewing a little bit more. If you kind of like, it's always nice, like kind of knowing the holes a little bit more so you can kind of understand where they're trying to hit it and what they're trying to do. But like for Thursday and Friday, it doesn't really matter to me that they're changing courses.
What if you were playing in it though? I'm just thinking, yeah, like I don't really care. It might be more of a factor at, well, no, like Torrey is a good example too, but also at Pebble, because I know some of the courses are a lot tougher. I don't know if Spyglass is the hard one or what the deal is, but if you got really bad weather on the hardest course, you could be super fucked that day. Or the other way, it could be super hard on the supposedly easier course when you're supposed to be making birdies, and it's just like you're gonna make a lot of pars now, and the harder course they're gonna grind for more pars. Anyway, there will always be some sort of advantage weather-wise, regardless of if you're on the same course, just based on the draw. So I'm just glad that majors don't do this, and it's just for early season PGA when you're battling the sunlight available. So
Yeah, I think, yeah, you make a good point about like getting the bad end of the draw for weather if you're on a certain course, but that can still happen. Like even if you're playing the same course and it's morning afternoon, like you can still get there's times when I played where you just get absolutely fucked, and there's times where you get very, very lucky. And
yeah.
I like to think that over the course of the year it kind of evens itself out. But yeah, you can if you get like the bad weather, the bad wind, like the cold mornings in Cali, and you're playing the harder course, that's definitely a disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the most fair way to do things, but from a fan perspective, I love it for the AT&T. I think the three courses are awesome. I don't know if I love it for Pebble because I don't know if the North Course adds that much. I
For
didn't
Tori.
watch a whole lot this year. Yeah, I just
Yeah.
think the South is a stronger golf course from what I heard.
Well, all
But
the holes just blend together. Like it's a lot of long par fours, thick rough, and I couldn't tell even on the south course, like the middle of the golf course, I couldn't tell you the difference between 8 and 9 and 10. Like, I don't know. I know what 17 and 18 look like, and 16. That's pretty much it.
yeah, I think that's a great way to say it is the course, the holes kind of blend together. With the AT&T, Pebble, Cypress, and Spyglass, I believe are fairly different. I know Spyglass, I think everyone says Spyglass who plays those three generally will say Spyglass is the best of the three, which surprises, well, used to surprise me, but I've heard it a lot now. The one thing that kind of sucks is I don't think they televise much, if any, of Spyglass and Cypress. I think the TV crew is usually set up on Pebble, which really sucks. I think maybe that'll, I don't know if that'll change because I don't know if it's the golf courses who decide that for this event or if it's just financials and like logistics and how hard it is to set up a tournament for three different golf courses. But with it being an elevated event this year, I wonder if they'll maybe put a little bit more coverage into the other two. I'd love to see that because I've seen pictures of Cypress and Spyglass and they look incredible. So if they could put that on TV, I think that would really pump up the tournament a bit more.
When Chris qualified for the USM, was it at Pebble and Spyglass?
Want to say it was, I could be totally wrong. I thought it was just Pebble because Cy qualified for that one as well. So for those who don't know, Cy and Chris were two of our college teammates. Mike was off the team and he coached them. Yes, Cy played 18 at Pebble with Victor Hovland, which is a sick story.
No way.
Yeah, so Victor was behind him or in front of him, I can't remember. But next time you see him, ask him about it. But yeah, he waved him up or something and he was like, oh, holy shit, this is the kid who's been dominating college golf at the time. And
Yeah.
yeah, so they played 18 together. Which is unreal. So moving on, we got worst types of golfers. Mike, I'm gonna send this one to you to start. I know what I got, and I'm gonna name a name for mine, but why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I have one person that I really don't like playing with, and it's the guy that will tell you, like, he goes out by himself at night, or he goes out in the morning and he shoots like 74, 75, 76, and he's like a 2 or 3 handicap, and then you go out and play with him on a men's night or for fun, and he can barely break 90. I really don't like that guy.
He's almost worse than a sandbagger, right? Because
Yeah,
he's
would
a
you
vanity
rather it
cat.
the other way, where they say they shoot 85 and then they show up to the member guests and shoot 71?
The sandbagger has a special place in hell, but like I think it's we call them like vanity caps, or they say they're way lower than they actually are. Those guys piss me off because they'll be the first people to tell you after they play alone how they had 6 birdies and they shot even and their game is so good, and then you'll go out with them and they won't break 90.
They're just bad people. Their ego gets in the way. They're like a narcissistic pedophile. I don't know how to describe them, but they're just horrible, egotistical people.
Yeah. I'm gonna end my list there, because I could name a few, but I'm just gonna go with one for today.
My least favorite golfer, number one, is just slow golfers. If you are slow, hurry the fuck up, especially if you suck, because if you suck, you're gonna take a lot of shots anyway. So you do not need to spend more than 20 seconds on your routine. Just get to the ball and hit it. It's a pain playing with you. It ruins weekend rounds, especially on like public courses. It makes them 6 hours, so just hurry up. My second golfer is the one that gives unsolicited advice. It's fine if you go to the course, you're playing with someone better than you. You tell them like, "Hey, if you see something, let me know. Coach me up. I want to get better." But if you're playing with some randoms, or even your buddies, you're playing a casual match, whatever, and you hit a bad shot, and they're like, "I know what you did wrong." I don't want to hear that. One, the course is not the place to improve your game. Tell me after the round if you want, and I'll go work on it on the range. But I don't want to be thinking about it for the next couple holes. I just want to enjoy myself and play my round. And two, usually the people that do this are worse than you at golf, and they just saw some tip on social media or on TV, and they just wanted to seem smarter. So yeah, I hate those people. Slow golfers especially, but the unsolicited advice person also bad.
I think on the slow golf part, I'm pretty sure this weekend the rounds were fucking terribly slow. I granted it, to be fair, it's a long golf course with long rough, but I think they were at least 5 hours. I don't know. It felt like it was on TV forever. And I did one of the guys I was working with said they don't have nearly the same amount of spotters they have for a US Open. And the rough is not obviously quite as long, but I think it's fairly close for this event. I think it's still quite long and hard to find a
It
ball.
was long. It was
Yeah.
long. And that's another argument against the just grow the rough up community, is that it makes golf take forever. Like, these guys are on the tour. They don't have as many spotters as they would for a major, but they still have lots of spotters out there and fans out there. If they're having trouble finding their balls, that's not a solution that we can just universally roll out to every golf course around the world.
No, I think that's a fair enough argument to make. That being said, I love long raw, holy stroke, long rough golf tournaments. I think it's just makes it kind of fun to watch them struggle a little bit.
Yep.
All right, what I got is the guy who always says they should have played better. This kind of plays into Mike because they're probably the same people that fuck with their handicaps a little bit. I just They're so brutal to listen to after the round. I don't mind people shooting the shit after. I think it's a great part of golf, going and having a pitcher, maybe six, grabbing your keys, driving home, and before you drive home drunk, talking about the round and going over those little shots that you've kind of fucked up and you could have saved. But when it's every single shot in the round by detail and the guy does it round after round after round, it's fucking brutal. And then the next thing I got is kind of similar. pretty much the same as the guy who goes out of his way to tell everyone how awful he played, and then he was leading the tournament by 6 shots. We had a teammate in college that did this by the name of Chris, who is a fucking unreal player. But oh my God, when you came off a round, like I would come off as fifth guy and I shot fucking 83, 78, and Chris shot 67, 69, and he tells me about the one putt he missed on 15. And he's leading the fucking golf tournament by 6, and he's first team All-American on Team Canada. It's and he just came off a fucking made cut at the PGA Canadian Open. I want to fucking cut my dick off. So those guys can be a little bit rough sometimes when you didn't have a good day. I don't mind hearing it as much if I came off and played somewhat close to par, but that doesn't happen very often.
Do you know who was notorious for telling you about every single shot that they ever hit?
A little guy we're gonna have on hopefully soon named Brett Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. He would go on. You'd be in the fucking van ride home from the tournament and he'd still be going. He'd be in his sleep. You'd be rooming with him and JB and he'd be fucking talking in his sleep about his round. He was, yeah.
I don't have a guy I don't like playing with. I just have a particular spot that I don't like people, and I'll call him the delusional guy. And it's the guy who hits it 225 off the tee, but if he has 250 to 275 left in on a par five, he waits for the green to clear and then he tops the ball. I don't
Nice.
like that guy.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
like
that
that
adds to the slow play on the weekends too. It's
guy.
the reachable par fives that they get one where they're like, one time 10 years ago, I absolutely nutted this 3 wood and it went 310. So
Yeah.
they're waiting from 275, like you just said. And then yeah, they top it, they pull hook it out of bounds, and they gotta go look for it or whatever. And then they take 15, 20 minutes to finish the hole. Yeah. Brutal.
Let's
Yeah, I got one
not
more.
judge the guy who pole hooks it, because I mean sometimes he kind of flushes that pole hook. So,
That's true. Those ones do go. Those
yeah.
ones do go. That we call those the AOC balls. They're hot and they lean left.
That's so good.
I got one more. This is like this doesn't even need to be said, but the cheater, especially it like in tournaments, if you're playing a casual round, whatever, like you're just cheating yourself. But if you're blatantly cheating, that's one thing. But it's also the guys that are trying to get away with a little bit more. They're taking those sneaky drops that you know did not cross the hazard, and they try to drop it like 100 yards further up than they should. That gets on my nerves a little bit. So don't be that guy.
Yeah, I'll just give a local shout out to Diego San Pedro, who got banned from the BCGA for cheating so many times. So,
Nice.
it follows you for life. Moving on, I think, unless you guys got any others that are coming to mind.
No,
All right.
I'm good.
Legend in the game, making a big return, potentially. Anthony Kim. He was a little bit before my time. The one memory I have of him was actually when I started getting into golf. I went to it was the 2011 Canadian Open at Shaughnessy, and we went for, I think it was a practice round. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday or something. And he was walking from the front nine to the back nine, making the turn from 9 to 10. And he was the only guy who was so savagely just walked past all the kids looking for autographs. It was so funny that like I respected the hell out of it. He made Tiger look like fell signing autographs. I don't know. Like he just breezed past everybody, didn't even say hi to a kid. He was probably so hungover. But yeah, he was the man. I think he won like 4 times, maybe a little bit overvalued in what he brings to the game, but I think it would be great and it gives a lot of content to talk about.
Bray, you want a fire?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that was well said, Craig. I do think it will be a little overvalued for what he'll bring now as at 38 years old. Like, who knows what state his game's in. And he's probably going to go to LIV, because why would he go on the PGA Tour? Does he even have status? I don't even know, but I'm sure LIV is going to be paying him a lot of money, which would cover his insurance Like he hasn't played because he got a big insurance pay, like paid out by his insurance company, to stay off the tour. That said, he was electric when he played. He had a lot of hype. He played a very aggressive style of golf, and I just know I'm going to read his scores from it was round two of the 2009 Masters, and this is still a record for most birdies in a round, and it's like it's unreal. So he starts birdie, par, birdie, bogey, birdie, 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 bogey, double, par, birdie, 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 par, par, birdie. 65 with 11 birdies. 11 birdies, record at Augusta. So it's that like aggressive style of play where obviously birdies are going to be had, but the double's always lurking, the bad bogey's always lurking too. That's kind of what I remember. And then I know he had some off course kind of hype about, not hype, hype's not the right word, but I know he was always alleged to be kind of like a bad boy, like drinking. Allenby, what did he say? This makes Robert Allenby look bad. He said, Anthony Kim was like out all night. This was at the President's Cup. Out all night, got back to the hotel at 4 a.m. On Saturday night before the President's Cup singles. And then Kim went out and kicked his ass and beat him five up or something like that. So I think that makes Allenby look bad, and that raises the allure for Anthony Kim. I want the guys that play guilty go out, get a little banged up. Everyone denies it. Fred Couples and Anthony Kim and the whole US team denied that he was out drinking the night before the final, the singles of the President's Cup. But I'm sure there was some PGA Tour rounds or major rounds where he was out having a good time and then showed up the next day and balled out. So
I'd love
yeah,
to
I
see
think
him on live, not give a fuck about his image anymore, and he's just doing like lines in the private jet and like posting all this to Instagram. I think it would be so entertaining. Smoking fucking crack on the plane. It'd be
yeah,
great.
him on live could be good for that. He could show a lot of personality, which is another thing that was really good about him on tour, is he was one of the first guys that really did show a lot of personality. Just like the way he dressed and kind of the way he carried himself. But the problem with him going to live is that you gotta like watch it, and I don't really enjoy watching live golf right now. Maybe that'll change. It's coming back pretty soon here, so maybe I'll turn it on, and if I like what's happening, I'll watch it. But really, golf is four tournaments right now. Like I'll watch week to week, but it's the four majors, and if he's not competing in those, it's not gonna be a huge storyline after a few weeks. Obviously, we're gonna watch, see how he does the first couple of weeks, but then I think it'll fizzle out, honestly.
Yeah, Bray covered basically everything I was gonna say. I think it's one of the easiest, like most logical signs for Liv to do, just because there's so much hype surrounding like a comeback from him and how big he was when he was playing. But I think after like if he goes, let's say there's two scenarios. Let's say he goes out to Liv and he's like contending and almost wins, that's gonna be really big. But if he goes out there and he's like shooting scores, which I think he's going to shoot, which are not going to be, they're not going to be terrible, but they're not going to be great. I think like the allure of him playing is just going to fizzle out pretty quick.
100%. If he's not winning, then even if he's getting like top 10, if he's consistently eighth, that's cool. But if he's not winning, and then if he's not trying to qualify into the Open,
He's got no status as well, so
yeah.
he's not going to be playing in any events other than the live events, and there's just not a huge amount of viewership on live.
Real quick thought on Liv. Could they ever run it like a college program and have, rather than what do they have, four guys on a team? What if they did like 10 guys on a team and you had to do qualifying rounds to get into the event, and the team captain got to choose like one guy that was a guaranteed a spot, and the rest all had to play at fucking like Pitt Meadows Golf Club to make the squad for that week.
Like it.
All right. Anything else on AK?
All I got. I hope he does well because he is
Yeah, I
an
hope he does
exciting player.
well. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be electric for golf, hands down. All right, one real quick note I had. Shout out to Club Pro Guy for this unreal tweet. I don't know if you guys saw this one,
Yeah, I
but he
did. I know
said,
it.
kind of touches on what we talked about last week. Somewhere right now, there's a 10-year-old boy honing his immense golf talent. And when he grows up, he will break every LPGA record ever known. So good. Okay, picks for the week. We got our weekly segment, I guess. Bray, you kind of started this. We don't have the odds yet, so, but why don't you just take us through this?
I'll run down. So last week, none of us won our bets, but we did have some close calls. I picked Åberg, Zalatoris, and Svensson to win. Svensson missed the cut, so that wasn't close. But Zalatoris had a good week. Åberg had a good week and missed a lot of short putts, so he was right there. Mike had to Homa top five. Where did he finish? I know he was
He
kind of
came 13th.
close. Close, yeah. So good week. Didn't quite pay out there. Craig had Homa to win and Patrick Rogers to win. Again, both of them had really good weeks, just didn't close it out. But that's the nature of golf betting. Like, you're not expected, if you're betting outrights and top fives, you're not expected to win each week, but we'll keep track of how we're doing throughout the year. So right now, each of us are down $10. We are recording a day early, so the odds aren't out yet, but the golf course is Pebble Beach, Monterey Peninsula, and Spyglass. And I'm going to bet, when I think of this tournament, I don't think of the long bomber. This is not, you don't need to, you can kind of just plot your way around Pebble. I don't know too much about the other courses, I'll be honest, but obviously length is always going to be an advantage, but this is a course where it's not as advantageous as, say, a Torrey Pines. So I'm going to go with someone who I think is an exceptional striker of his irons. And that is Mr. Tommy Fleetwood, who has never won on the PGA Tour. And I think this is where he's going to do it. So I'm going to put all 10 of my nuggies on Tommy Fleetwood to win outright. I don't know what the odds are, but I would guess it'll be in the 20 to 30 range. So I'd bet him as low as 20 to 1. So that's my pick. Mike, what do you got?
I'm just gonna go with a outright winner this week. I'm gonna go with Ludvig Aubert. You touched on it a little bit already, but I think he actually hit it pretty good at Torrey this week. But every other shot that they were showing of him seemed to be like a little 2-footer or 3-footer that he was missing. And it's probably not the greatest of bets because the greens at Pebble are probably gonna be worse than the ones at Torrey with all the stomping from the yams and the poa that grows and whatnot. But I like his chances this week, so I'm putting all 10 on him.
Nice.
Yeah, real quick shout out to me for the whole beginning of the podcast, getting Monterey Peninsula mixed up with Cypress Point. Won a little bit of, as they say, acoustic there. But yeah, my picks for the week. I think I'm gonna start after this week. I'll probably start doing some sprinkling in like some made cuts, top fives, all that. But I just got three outright winners. So I'm gonna go with Nick Taylor, 2020 champion, just for $2. Scotty, his odds gotta be pretty high up there. I would think would he would be, it's interesting because he has more wins than Tommy Fleetwood by a long shot, but I bet his odds are probably like worse or higher, or whatever the terminology is, than Tommy, right? Because Tommy's
Longer odds.
longer. There you go. Longer. Stay hot, Craig.
So what I would, as a like, I'm not gonna call myself a sharp bettor, but like someone who thinks about betting more than just the absolute square that puts all their money on favorites all the time, what is the shortest odds that you would bet Nick Taylor at?
This week, probably. He's a past champion. I don't know. I was gonna say 20 to 1, but I bet it's he might be shorter than that
I
potentially,
don't think
right?
so. I think he'll be in
Literally, he's
the.
like 35 to 1,
Yeah,
something
I
like
was
that.
going to
So
say
they
about
don't
40.
weigh. Okay, I thought maybe they would weigh past champion like quite a
They
bit,
might.
but
They might, but
maybe.
there's like a lot of people are showing up to this tournament, so.
True. Oh yeah, elevated event, so it's gonna be pretty juiced, right?
Yeah.
And then I have, I don't know if I said this already, Scottie Scheffler, $5.
Okay.
Pretty safe bet. I mean, he's got to be top three in the favorites, I would imagine. if not one or two. I know
Mm-hmm.
Rory's playing. He's probably usually the biggest favorite, no matter what. And then just to piss off Michael Bell, I'm going to go Jordan Spieth, $3. I think he's won this event in the past,
Here we go.
5, 6 years ago, probably, maybe a little bit more. He was dialed in at Kapalua, nearly won. And I think he's going to have a good season. I'm going to get torched for this by Mike and his little buddy, Chris Hebner. But besides that, they're haters. Spieth striping it. Swing looks good. The putting's going to be 2015 again. He might win the Grand Slam this year. So, all right. Oh, sorry. What am I thinking? Cancel culture. So we got a few people I think all want to cancel this week. I think we're gonna start with, I don't know if I want to start.
I'll go
All
first.
right.
I'll go first. Okay. Mike, I'm sorry. You're gonna be lumped into here. Willie Z, Adam Scott, old Bernard Langer, and Mike Bell. What do they all have in common?
Can't putt. Long putter, long putter.
True. They can't putt with the normal putter. It is they all use a broomstick putter, and there's more people that use it, but those are the first ones that came to mind. I am canceling anyone that uses the broomstick putter. Mike, I'm sorry, you're in there too. One, because I just hate the way it looks. It's fucking disgusting. Putt with a shorter putter, be a man, and suck at putting like the rest of us with a shorter putter instead of cheating with this big ass broomstick.
You know what
And
else they all
two.
have in common is they're bad athletes. They need to use that.
Okay. And two, because this is why I'm really canceling them. Because what I think it's doing is making a sick, sick, sexist joke that I would never make about women. Women historically weren't allowed and still aren't allowed on some elite golf clubs. So when a man is using a broomstick putter, I think he's making a sick, sexist joke directed at women about where they belong, which is cleaning and doing those things. I'm saying the people that are using these broomsticks, that's what they are doing. That is disgusting. Canceling all of them. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. Use a shorter putter.
Love that.
Oh, okay. I just got destroyed. That's okay. To be fair, I'll say this. I use a variation of a broomstick, and my broomstick is not nearly as long as some of the others. And I have it like a good 3 to 4 inches off my body, whereas Bernhard is 100%
Cheating.
cheating.
Yes, that's true. If there's clear separation from your body, I'm more okay with that. Still don't love the appeal of it, but
Still
yeah.
sexist, though.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I don't feel good about this, but I'm gonna cancel one of the best stories on tour this year. His name is Tom Whitney. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's got a great story. They were talking about him when he had a putt to like get into the top five this week. He was like 6 feet away on Torrey South, and they were like, you know what, this guy has a great story. He's from the military. He tragically lost his brother to suicide in the military. And then they pan to him and they show him trying to make this 6 foot putt, and he misses it by 6 feet to the left. And it was honestly one of the, I'm gonna say it was the worst putt I've ever seen a tour pro hit. Which is saying a lot. Like, you've seen a lot of yips before. If you see this putt, you're gonna seriously question how this guy got his tour card. So unfortunately, I love this guy's story and I hope he does well, but yeah, he's getting canceled this week
For being a bad putter.
for hitting the worst putt you would ever see in your life.
Okay, good stuff. I like
I gotta
it.
find this putt now.
Yeah, me too. We'll have to sh share that on our socials that we definitely have as a podcast.
All right, so what I got this week for my cancel culture is the perverted CBS drone operator trying to catch a glimpse at Hogard's wrench. I think we need to put him in jail along with our teammate John Mokotic for peeing in a public park in Sacramento, but he can maybe come on and defend himself for that at one point. This guy was clearly an escapee from Epstein's Island. I don't know why the PGA is hiring these guys, but it needs to stop. It's pretty much the worst thing you can do is try to grab an unsolicited, non-consensual glimpse on live air.
Good take. Did we get to see the wrench at least?
I don't want to make jokes about it being so small because the drone was like 4,000 feet away. So if you could see it, I mean, he's hung like a horse, but you couldn't see it. So I think we can confirm Nicholas Hoggard average to below average penis size. Heard it here first.
Fair enough. Good enough golfer to make up for that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Money matters. Oh, one thing I forgot real quick. Before we go, Anthony Kim return note I had on that. Who's one golfer you guys would want to see make a return? It could be past, present, anybody, just somebody that was either electric or you just want to see back on tour.
Yeah, I'll go. I want to see Smiley Kaufman come back. I think he was pretty fun. He played in the Masters, and then I think he got most of his fame from that. Was it Bahamas or wherever him and Spieth and JT and Ricky
Spring
had their.
Break 2018 or whatever it was.
Wasn't it like 2015, 2016?
2K16, yeah. 2K16.
2K16. Yeah, that was sick. They're all playing shirtless and just having a good time doing what you do on a boys' golf trip. But he's excellent. He's excellent on the mic. He has his own podcast too. So I know he's an exciting golfer and a good guy to listen to, but I'd like to see him back on the golf course.
I'm gonna go with a golfer that has passed on, and that's Mo Norman.
Ooh.
I think this is an app. Like, if we had someone like Mo Norman in the year 2024, where woke culture is a huge thing, and we had an acoustic golfer who never missed a shot, that would be just a like whoever's running PR, that would be a dream for them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the things Mo Norman could do for the acoustic golf community would be truly incredible. All right, one guy I would like to see, and I saw a tweet about this recently, Angel Cabrera, the man, the myth, the
Oh,
legend. Heard
straight
he's
out
got
of
a
jail,
mean right
baby.
hand. Yeah. He I think was about to win an event or he was in contention or lead. I think he was leading. He was leading the South Open in Argentina. What the South Open is, I don't know. I've really quickly Googled it before the podcast and tennis came up. So, but either way, I mean, he's obviously still got game after 2 years in jail. Who knows what happened between him and his wife? Probably wasn't good. Probably, I mean, it's not a good look. Like, if you can't take a hit from a woman, like, he's got to take a page out of Lucas Glover's book, right? Like, that guy's wife would be like 78, like, and then beat the shit out of him. And, you know, Cabrera's wife might have been the same, and he just had a mean right hook. Like, maybe Glover just didn't know how to throw a good enough punch. Or, I mean, Cabrera did, or no, Glover didn't know how to throw a good enough punch. Yeah, nice punchline, Craig. Right.
Oh man, is the Masters gonna let him play?
Oh, because he's a past champion. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, there's no way they have a provision or whatever in their guidelines of past champions that you can't play if you've been to Argentinian prison, right? Like, that is
Well,
so specific.
it's still technically an invitational, so they can make their own rules.
True. Yeah. That's.
So who knows? But I do like watching him play golf. He
He's so smooth.
yeah. I was cheering for him against Adam Scott that one year when Adam rolled it in, probably because Adam was using a broomstick and I hate the way it looks.
Yeah, it's degrading to women.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to see him back. The one guy, I mean, just a legend. This is an obvious one. John Daly. I'd love to see. I mean, I hope, I guess we have potential to maybe see some version of that in Little John. I don't
Yeah.
know how good his kid's doing in college. I've never looked up his scores or anything, but man, I fuck, that would be electric if he ever gets some PGA starts. And especially if you hear stories about him at Hooters and just putting back beers and showing up hungover, and he's like hacking darts on the course. That would be unbelievable. So,
Oh yeah.
would love to see that. All
Yeah.
right. Yeah. That was awesome. This gets me through my work weeks for sure right now, and takes me one step further away from that nice warm toaster bath. So I'll see you guys next week, and yeah, this
I'll
was
see
fun.
you guys on Friday, actually, in
Oh
Winnipeg.
fuck me, yeah, we got Winnipeg.
I just want